Hi, this is Pastor and Bible teacher Warren Hoyt, welcoming you to another audio message of the Word of God, which, according to Acts 20:32, is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among God's people. So today I want to share with you in English what I shared in Spanish yesterday in our church Pan de Vida, and I'm doing it today on my laptop because my main computer crashed, so the audio may sound a little different. But I want to talk to you about Jesus, our prophet. That's the title of the message today. And I want to read a couple scriptures for you, Deuteronomy 18 and Hebrews 1. Deuteronomy 18, and we want to read verses 15 through 19. It says this: "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own brothers." Moses is speaking here. So he tells the people of Israel, God's going to raise up a prophet for them like him from among their brothers. Then he goes on to say, "You must listen to him, for this is what you asked of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, 'Let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see this great fire anymore, or we'll die.'" So, you know, the presence of God for them on Mount Sinai was overwhelming, and they were scared of God. And they said, please, you know, don't make us have to approach God like this anymore. You go talk to him, Moses, and you tell him what he has to say. So that shows us, again, something that I've been talking about lately, how the Lord Jesus made God known. You know, Philippians 2 says that he emptied himself and left something of his glory behind in order to come to earth. And so that way he was relatable. He could, the presence of God could be among us, and he dwelt among us. He tabernacled among us, but yet we could look upon him and learn from him. So Jesus was God in human flesh in a way that humans could identify with. But going on here, Deuteronomy 18, now verse 17, "The Lord said to me, 'What they say is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. I'll put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I command him. If anyone doesn't listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name, I will call him to account.'" So now I want to go to Hebrews chapter 1 and read verses 1 through 3. Hebrews 1, 1 through 3. It says, "In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." So again, I want to talk to you today about Jesus, our prophet, because over the last few weeks, I've been talking about knowing God. You know, it's a series on knowing God, because John tells us that this is eternal life, to know God and to know the Lord Jesus whom he has sent. That's what eternal life is. It's knowing God. And I also brought you a message about another look at faith. And I was saying that really having faith has to do with knowing God too, because you can't really have faith in one that you don't know. And someone has said that faith is seeing the faithful one. So it's seeing who God is, seeing that he's faithful. That's how we can trust him. So the more we know God, the more we can have faith in him or trust him, and the better we can worship and serve him. So knowing God is just so very, very important. And then the last couple messages I shared with you about how, though scripture says in John 1, 17, 18, it says that nobody has ever seen God, but Jesus Christ, his only Son, who has always been in intimate communion with him, has made God known. And the last couple of weeks I've been talking about how Jesus made God known to us in many different ways, because he was actually God with us. And as Hebrews says, he's the exact expression of the nature of God in human flesh. Now, today what I want to go into is the fact that various passages of Scripture also present Jesus as our prophet, priest, and king. And I believe that these titles also help us to know God more. They reveal more insight about who the Lord is and what he does for us. So I want to kind of explore those roles with you over the next few weeks. And today I want to begin with the Lord's role as prophet. And just want to say from the outset, I'm not saying Jesus is only a prophet like the Muslims say. I'm saying he's a prophet, but I'm not by that detracting from him being God in human flesh or being the Messiah, the Savior. I'm not saying he's only a prophet. I'm saying he's a prophet with a capital P, God speaking to us in human flesh. Now, there were many prophets in Old Testament days, and some you may not even have realized were called prophets. Like, for example, Abraham is called a prophet in Genesis 20, verse 7, and so is David in Acts 2:30, but you might not have thought of them as being prophets. There are others who clearly were called prophets, like Samuel, Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, Jeremiah, the 12 minor prophets, and so on. But what is a prophet? Well, I have this one real big textbook from seminary that's it's called the Dictionary of Old Testament Prophets, and it's a pretty neat resource. And there it gives this definition. It says, a prophet is a spokesperson for God who announced God's will or intentions to people or nations, who predicted the future or did both. So I like to say a prophet represents God to the people, and a priest represents the people to God. But the prophet represents God to the people because he speaks what God wants him to speak to them, you know, gives God's words to them. Also, the prophets could discern. There were people who could discern God's perspective regarding his people and his world. That's why in the early years of Israel's history, you'll see in places like 1 Samuel 9:9 that prophets were called seers, S-E-E-R-S, because they could see what God was doing or saying, and they could see the circumstances around them from God's perspective. So prophets told people when they were sinning and disobeying God or when they were displeasing God, and they would warn the people of the consequences of doing that. Noah is an example of this. He was a man who walked with God, and so he could see things from God's perspective. The people of his society, they probably thought everything was going great, but Noah understood that God hated how they were living, and that he had determined to judge them and destroy them by sending the flood, because he's a holy God. He has to judge sin. Romans 11:22 says he's good and severe. So he's severe because he's holy and he can't tolerate sin. But at the same time, he's good and he's merciful, because he also revealed to Noah his plan to save those people who would believe him. Of course, there were only eight who ended up being saved. But the plan was the ark. God gave a plan for salvation through his prophet Noah. Now, some thousands of years later, you have this prophet called Elijah. And he's sent to Ahab, who was one of the most wicked kings that Israel ever had. And Elijah came to Ahab, and he told him that because of his idolatry and because of the sin of Israel, it wasn't going to rain until Elijah said so. In other words, God was going to use Elijah as his agent, his instrument, to bring judgment upon Israel so that they would repent and return to God. Later, you have Isaiah and you have Jeremiah, both telling Israel that God was going to raise up the Babylonians to conquer them because of their sin, if they didn't repent. You have Jonah, who went to a whole different people, the Ninevites, and told them that God was going to destroy them unless they repented. And so these prophets would see things from God's perspective, and as God's representatives, they spoke to the people from God. And of course, at times they also told God's people what was going to happen in the future when God revealed that to them. For example, God told Abraham that his descendants would be oppressed in Egypt and then later brought out of there. He told Joseph, his great-grandson, Abraham's great-grandson, in a dream that one day he, Joseph, was going to rule down there in Egypt. Moses told the Israelites that in latter days they would turn away from God and be taken into captivity and then later be restored. You can see that in Deuteronomy 32. The prophet Amos also predicted the exile, Amos 5:27. God told David that one of his sons was going to reign over God's people forever, 2 Samuel 7:14. He also told Isaiah that this same person, David's son, would be a suffering servant who would suffer horribly to bring redemption to all of us. God told his prophet Daniel about the coming kingdoms that were going to rule over the world, four kingdoms. You know, and you read about that in Daniel 2, 7, 8, and 11. But the Bible says that Moses was the greatest prophet that Israel ever had. It says that in Deuteronomy 34, 10 through 12. Why was he the greatest? Well, because he actually spoke with God face to face. Now, we know God doesn't have a face. He's a spirit. But what that means, that's a metaphorical expression that is telling us about the intimacy that Moses had with God, the relationship he had with God. Moses ascended Mount Sinai into the very presence of God, and he received the clearest messages from God that anybody ever had. He was shown that God wanted to deliver his people out of Egypt. You know, when he was called over to the burning bush, God said, I want to deliver my people out of Egypt, and I'm going to send you. And so God revealed his purposes to Moses. Then he used Moses to bring about those purposes. He sent him down to Egypt. And of course, Moses was reluctant at first, but God, you know, spoke through him about sending these powerful judgments of plagues and so forth, greater than had ever been seen. And so through Moses as God's instrument or his agent, God defeated the oppressors of Israel. He defeated the Egyptians and the Pharaoh and so forth. And he broke their power over his people so that they could be brought out of Egypt. And he didn't just bring them out of Egypt, but he brought them to Mount Sinai and gave them his law, the Torah, so that they could be constituted as his people, the first people of God, and be made into worshipers of God and taught how to walk with him and be with him. And so, and then of course, God was going to lead them to their own promised land. So he brought them out of Egypt to bring them in to his promises and the inheritance he had for them. So Moses was the greatest prophet the Lord ever gave to Israel because of all these amazing things God used him to do, but also because Moses was a type. In other words, he typified the Messiah and what God was going to do through the Messiah in the future. You know, there's lots of types in the Old Testament. For example, when Abraham was told to sacrifice his son Isaac, that made them types of what God was going to do one day by sacrificing his son on Calvary. So there's a lot of types like that in the Bible. So, you know, that's why Moses is the greatest prophet. And God told Moses that one day he was going to raise up another prophet like him in the scripture there in Deuteronomy that I started off with. Whoever didn't listen to that prophet would be cut off. What that means is if you didn't listen to Moses, you couldn't get out of Israel, Egypt, right? You couldn't get into the inheritance of God. And so what God is saying is if you don't listen to this prophet he's going to raise up in the last days, you won't inherit what God has for you. So it's really important to look to Moses, and by looking at him, we can understand the importance of the coming prophet because Moses foreshadowed him. I mean, just think about the way in which he foreshadowed Messiah. Think about what God teaches us through Moses and the Exodus and all that. Because, you know, all of Israel was in slavery in Egypt, not just some of them. And they were all ruled by Pharaoh, who was a cruel and oppressive king. None of them could get out of that place on their own. They didn't have the power to do it. Egypt was too powerful. Pharaoh was too powerful. They were the greatest nation on earth at that time. And the Israelites, they were just a ragtag bunch of slaves. They were disorganized and weak and unarmed. And as I said, Egypt was the most powerful nation on earth at the time. And so, you know, they were completely helpless before Moses came. Now, God had told Abraham that his descendants would go down to Egypt, and then later he'd judge Egypt and bring them out of there. But that was more than 400 years before this, before the time of Moses. So you can imagine after living so many years as foreigners in the middle of the Egyptians, you know, who had other gods and so forth, had a totally different worldview. It's easy to understand why most of the Israelites would have probably, you know, lost hope in ever being brought out of Egypt according to the promises of God. They would have forgotten about the promises of God. All that hope would have evaporated for them over those 400 plus years. It would have been like a dream or a legend, you know, something that you think, well, man, that's just never going to happen. And there again, that's why Moses, God's prophet, was so very important to their salvation. He was God's representative and God's agent that God used to bring to them the memory of these promises all over again. You know, he came to them and said, God promised we would be down here in Egypt, but he promised he's going to get us out of here. And the time has come now. He's going to get us out of here. He's going to liberate us. So it was very important that Moses would tell them that. Of course, at first, you know, they were too discouraged to even listen to him. But then when God started using Moses and he would tell Pharaoh what was going to happen, I'm going to do this if you don't let my people go. And Pharaoh wouldn't listen and God would do just what he said. And so boom, 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 you know, these 10 plagues came upon the land and God just always fulfilled the words that Moses spoke time and time again. And he just step by step hammered the Egyptians and broke their power until he destroyed their power over his people completely, and they were able to get out of there and actually plunder the Egyptians when they left. So they left with riches, you know, gold and silver and everything they needed. And then, of course, God took them through the Red Sea, which was their baptism. And then through Moses, the prophet, he led them in the wilderness for 40 years, you know. And he fed them the bread of heaven, the manna, you know. He gave them the bread of life from heaven. He gave them water out of a rock. And of course, that also symbolized Christ, because Moses had to strike the rock one time and then later just speak to it, and water gushed out and so forth. And then Moses, you know, took him to Sinai and he brought him into covenant with God so they could be God's people. And he taught him Torah, which means the law, but also means instruction. So he gave him God's ways, you know, of how they were to live. All this was the role of this prophet, Moses. That's why he's the greatest, right? And then God says he's going to raise up another one like Moses someday. It's very much like the promise God gave Eve. He said, someday your seed is going to crush the serpent's head and get back your inheritance that's lost, that has been lost. Or it's like the promise he gave Abraham when he said, through your seed, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. God said to Moses, there's going to be another prophet like you. And he's going to bring God's people into the fullness of what I have for them. So Moses revealed God's will to the people. He reminded them of his promises and he sort of pointed them toward the inheritance that awaited them. He represented God for them. He spoke God's word to them in such a way that they could enter into covenant, what we call the Old Testament today. Explained the terms of it, you know, the ways to walk with God. He led them through the desert. He got them to depend on God, you know, because he told them, you don't just live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Moses, he led them, he defended them, he corrected them many times. He interceded for them, even when they sinned or when they went into battle. He brought them all the way up to the border of the promised land. Of course, we know he couldn't go in with them. And that's another story. The reason for that is because Moses blew it himself, lost his temper, didn't obey God in something, didn't do things God's way in something. But also because Moses represents the law and nobody ever gets saved by the law, the person who ended up leading Israel into the promised land was going to be a man by the name of Yehoshua. We call him Joshua, but his name's the same as Yeshua, and he's also a type of Jesus. But that's for another day. The point for now is just this. Look, in those days, if you were an Israelite, you wanted to be saved from Egypt, you wanted to get out of slavery and bondage to Pharaoh, Moses was the way. You had to obey him. You had to follow him. There was no other prophet and no other option. And then Moses said, one day, God's going to raise up another like him, And so people would have to follow him in the same way. Now listen, it's interesting. Some people might have missed this. But when John the Baptist came on the scene, it was 1,400 years that the Israelites had been waiting for the prophet like Moses to be raised up. They've been waiting 1,400 plus years. So when John the Baptist came on the scene and was preaching with this power from God and so forth, some people wondered, and it says in John 1:21, they asked if he was the prophet, quote unquote. This is what they were talking about, the prophet Moses spoke about. And so the time was getting ripe. People were looking for this prophet. So when Philip, in the same book of John, chapter 1, he told his friend Nathanael about Yeshua, about Jesus. Listen to how he described him in John 1:44, I think it is. He says, "We have found the one of whom Moses wrote in the law and in the prophets, Jesus of Nazareth." See, he described Jesus as the prophet. That's what he was talking about, the prophet spoken of by Moses. When Jesus multiplied the loaves and fishes and fed 5,000 people, you know, he gave them bread from heaven, so to speak. And so in John 6, verse 13, the multitude said at that time, "Truly, this is the prophet who's to come into the world." And then in John 7:40, when Jesus said that if anyone thirsted, they could come to him and drink, and out of their innermost being, rivers of living water would flow, the people again responded, "This is the prophet." And then others said, "This is the Christ." See, back then they didn't know if the prophet was the Christ and so forth. We know today, though, the prophet is the Christ. There's no confusion today. There was confusion back then. But folks, I want you to know there should be no confusion for us today. Jesus is the prophet spoken of by Moses. He's the prophet with a capital P, prophet of all prophets. He's the fullest and most complete manifestation of what a prophet represents. And that's what Hebrews 1 tells us that I started off reading to you. It says in the last days, you know, in former times, God spoke through different prophets. But in these last days, he's spoken to us through his Son. And his Son is, of course, God with us, the exact representation of the nature of God. If God has spoken to us through Jesus, well, doesn't that tell you that Jesus is the prophet, the spokesperson of God that Moses predicted? I mean, after all, who can speak better for God than God in human flesh, which is what Jesus was and is. And so when Jesus began his public ministry, he said, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is drawn near." See, that's just like what Moses did. Moses said, "The time has come." God predicted that he was going to get you out of Egypt, and now the time has come. I'm here to liberate you. Well, Jesus said something similar. He said, "The time is fulfilled. I've come." You know, the prophet has come. It's the moment, and it's the will of God that you be liberated. See, Moses said, "You're going to be liberated out of Egypt." Well, Jesus says, "He's come so that we might be liberated out of slavery to sin and the devil. He's come to usher us in to the new era of the Spirit and the Messiah and the church, and to lead us toward our promised land." Jesus is the prophet Moses predicted. Moses led the Israelites to the Sinai covenant. Jesus brought us the new covenant. I mean, Isaiah 42:6 says God was going to make him the covenant. And I've said that a lot of times. Jesus is the gospel. Jesus is the covenant. Jesus is the mediator between God and man. He's the way we relate to God. And of course, he instituted or inaugurated the new covenant with his teaching, like the Sermon on the Mount. You know, Moses brought the law down from the mount. Well, Jesus gave us the Sermon on the Mount. And through his teaching ministry, he initiated the covenant in his early years of ministry. But then in the upper room, he said, "This is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for you as a new covenant." And so then through his death on the cross, his body became the bread and his blood became the wine. You know, Moses was the prophet, and he told God's people, "You got to kill a lamb and put its blood on your doorpost." But Jesus is the prophet who also gave his body, and he's called the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Moses gave God's first people the covenant of law, but Christ has given us the new covenant, a better covenant of the Spirit and of grace. John 1:17 says that. The law came through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. It's a superior covenant because it's the covenant of the Spirit. In the old covenant, you were given words that told you how you're supposed to live. But in the new covenant, we receive the power of God who enables us to live the way we're to live. Moses taught the people to build the tabernacle so God could dwell among them, but Jesus tabernacled among us. John 1:14 says that. It says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Well, the Greek word there is actually tabernacled among us. And so Jesus came to dwell among us, God among us, God with us. But more than that, he's continuing to dwell among us, and he's building a habitation for himself. Through the centuries, he's been building this. It's called the church. And he said in Matthew 16, upon this rock I'll build my church. I will build it. And in Ephesians 2, 20 through, or really 18 through 22, it talks about how he's building it upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And he himself is the chief cornerstone. So Jesus is the fulfillment, you see, of this that Moses predicted. It's interesting that Hebrews 3, 6 talks about how Moses was faithful as a servant in God's house. And so the early people of God, the Israelites, they were like God's house. And Moses was faithful to serve there. But Christ is faithful as a son over his own house, whose house we are. Again, that's Hebrews 3, 6. So Jesus is the fulfillment. He is the prophet spoken of by Moses. And of course, what better prophet could there be? Because he's actually the living word. Right? He gave us the written word, but he's the living word, Hebrews 4:12. He's the word that was in the beginning with God and was God, and through whom all things that were created were created. Revelation 3:14 says he's the true and faithful witness. See, he's the faithful witness of God. He's the prophet of God who gives us the words of God untainted, uncorrupted, undiminished. The clearest revelation of God. He's both the message and the messenger of God. Malachi 3:1 says that. So he's the prophet Moses spoke about. He is the last prophet. He's the living word of God who reveals God's will to us. Nobody's ever seen God at any time, but the Son of God has made him known. He's made us understand who God is, what God wants, that God wants everybody to be saved, that this world isn't all there is, and that living in all this chaos down here and this sin and corruption and everything, that's not God's final plan. That's not what he made us for, folks. This isn't all there is. People today have lost sight of that. They don't understand what we were made for. But God has an inheritance for us, something far greater than the promised land that Israel inherited. God has an eternal inheritance for us, that we should be made in the image of God, that we should dwell in the presence of God with him forever, that we should grow and grow as people and become more and more like him as we see him as he is and as we dwell with him. This is the will of God. And so Jesus is the prophet who makes that known and awakens in us that desire to return to God and to seek that for which we were made and to seek that home that we were supposed to dwell in with God in his presence. Jesus is the prophet. He's the word of God to us in this world and in this age. And so he's God's plan A, folks, and there is no other plan. There's no plan B. You know, God said that when he raises up the prophet like Moses in the last days, whoever doesn't listen to him, God will call him to account. We'll see. What that tells you is the same thing Jesus said in John 14:6. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to God but by me. You can't get out of Egypt and out of slavery to sin and bondage to Satan any other way. You can't get into the inheritance God has for you any other way. And so God will call you to account if you don't accept his only salvation through the prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? The truth is, nobody will escape who neglects it. nobody will be saved. You have to follow the prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Word of God to us. He leads us into what God has for us. You know, I believe that in the final judgment, we'll be judged not only for what we did, but for things we didn't do. In other words, what I'm talking about is what we were supposed to be and what we could have had and what we could have become if we'd have followed the Lord. God has wonderful things for us. And through his prophet, the Lord Jesus, through his word, he reveals these things to us. But we can't achieve our full potential unless we follow the living word of God and are filled with his spirit. Thank God that he sent us his son who has made him known to us, the prophet prophesied by Moses. Just give him praise and glory for sending us Jesus. Till next time, may the Lord richly bless you. Thanks for listening today. If you have any comments, questions, or prayer requests, I'd be happy to receive them from you. Just scroll down and you can send them from the website directly. Also, if you'd like to support this ministry, you can do it on the website by clicking the donate button or contact me to make a different arrangement. Thank you.